warm welcome to the Sweet Spot, your go-to golf tipping show, brought to you by The Racing Post. It's Jack Reeve and it's Steve Palmer looking back on one tournament, and thankfully a fuller schedule is back this week. So two tournaments to preview. Looking forward to getting the thoughts and tips from Steve Palmer. Steve, from a tipping point of view last week, slightly disappointing, but it was an entertaining tournament nonetheless.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it was a challenging tournament, really. I mean, Sahith Theegala made 12 birdies and missed the cut. Loads of schoolboy errors from him. Luke List was two shots off the lead through 12 holes of round two, and he ended round two 10 shots off the lead. He put a snowman on his card. I mean, Matt Kuchar had the most well-documented snowman, but Luke List had a snowman too. And then going into Sunday, I thought Cameron Champ might still get a place, but then he opened up with a seven on the first hole. So, challenging week from a punting perspective, that's for sure.
It was a peculiar kind of, I'd be lying if I said I watched all of it, but loads of low scores. Equally, some huge scores thrown in and around on certain holes. It was a peculiar course.
It was. It wasn't the best course in the world. I don't want to upset my mate Tiger, but it was pretty boring in terms of like massively wide fairways. I mean, it got more interesting closer to the hole, you know, the undulations. There were certain spots you just couldn't miss it. So I suppose Tiger, the best iron player that ever lived, has created a course which would suit accurate iron play. Yeah, when we go back there next time, we'll focus on accurate iron play, because the fairway, anyone could hit the fairways, and it was about finding the right positions on those dodgy greens.
It was won by Eric Van Rooyen, Steve. I mean, just a remarkable back nine from him. I think it was 20, shot 28 coming in, ended with an eagle, broke down in tears afterwards, kind of sharing the news of his best friend that he'd lived with during his studies, battling cancer, and sadly doesn't look like he'll come through it. So a real kind of emotional ending for Van Rooyen, and remarkable golf aside from that to win the tournament.
Absolutely, yeah. 8 under par for his final nine holes, and he got right in the zone. You could see that the mindset that he got into was that he didn't care what happened. And, you know, golfers can be very dangerous when they don't care about golf. And, even when he held that winning eagle putt on the final green, he said in the media conference afterwards he just felt numb, you know, because he knows when you win a big PGA Tour golf tournament, you're supposed to be happy and joyous, but he just couldn't generate the joy because he was thinking about his terminally ill best friend, his best man at his wedding, and, effectively sort of helped him settle in America. Crying shame. He hasn't got long to live. But I think Van Rooyen, he's a good player. He's 33 years of age, two-time PGA Tour champion now. I think he'll hoover up a few more low-grade PGA Tour events. I'm not sure he's going to win majors, but I think he's good enough to win more PGA Tour titles.
And I think watching that interview, Steve, there's so many variables in golf as it is, you know, compared to plenty of other sports. We don't know the mental state of these players going into tournaments. And, you know, it's obviously has a huge impact. It just shows how difficult it is when you're trying to pick a winner, because everyone's out there facing their own battles.
You're absolutely right. There's certain things you're just never going to know. I mean, Eric Van Rooyen said he was sick last week. He was feeling ill himself. He didn't play much, didn't practice much. If you'd known that, you would have ruled him out of your plans. I mean, he hasn't been pulling up trees this year. And then, if you found out about his situation with his best friend there, would that have encouraged you or put you off? I mean, I remember Henrik Stenson, I believe, just before he won the Open, had a similar situation. I can't remember the details, but he was in a mindset where there's bigger things going on than golf. And it just free the mind, doesn't it, when you've got that perspective that it doesn't matter what happens here. People are living and dying, and it's only ruddy golf. I was expecting Camilo Villegas to be the big emotional story if he won, but I didn't realise Eric had a backstory as well.
It was so lovely to see Camilo up at the top of the leaderboards. I mean, I haven't been keeping up to date with him on his Instagram or if he's got that, but I must admit, I kind of saw him and I thought, God, you've aged.
Well, I'm not surprised. He's been through the ringer, isn't he? I mean, it's lovely when you get a blast from the past come in. I mean, you saw how excited I got when the bashful prince came into my life again in the Zozo, Rao Ishikawa. I mean, seeing Camilo Villegas contending for titles, it takes you back to a halcyon days. You know, I remember back in Camilo for the BMW Championship, his first PGA Tour title, and you know, it seems such a long time ago. And
what year would that have been?
2014, that was his first win. But it seems about 100 years ago to me. But yeah, he was a former world number seven. I mean, Camilo back in the day was a class act. And as I say, he's been through the absolute ringer with it. His daughter died when she was just 22 months old. Tumors to the brain and the spine. I mean, yeah, I don't know how people get up in the morning after things like that. Yeah, let alone sustain a professional golf career. So fortunately, he had shoulder problems as well. You see, but the shoulder problems were well timed. You know, because that meant he was out of the golf game while he was with his daughter for those 22 months. So I'm pleased he had that shoulder injury. And he has mentioned that it was sort of like a divine intervention that it kept him off the golf course so he could be with his daughter. But what a heartbreaking thing to have to go through. And if Camilo Villegas is back, he's only 41.
He's only
41. He's got plenty to offer. He's fit as a fiddle. I'd love to see Villegas. He went off 600-1 last week. So it shows how... Yeah, he was a 600-1 chance. There was hardly anyone at a bigger price than Camilo Villegas, which again shows how crazy our golf punting game is. You know, you can have players completely disregarded by bookmakers and they almost win the golf tournament.
Yeah, remarkable. Any others that kind of caught your eye that you'll be keeping in the track for the next few weeks?
I think Justin Suh deserves a big mention. I know he's become a sweet spot regular and we do give him lots of mentions, but the thing about Sunday is, you know, he's had some disappointing Sundays. He led the Zozo Championship and faded away. A lot of people would have given up on him there. But, we've said before, it's all about learning to be in contention, isn't it? Learning to hold yourself together. And he could tell he was pleased with how he went about his business on Sunday. I saw his interview afterwards. It was a bogey-free 65 in the thick of things. He looked comfortable in contention. Yeah, we've got a superb ball striker here. Reminds me of Anthony Kim. Do you remember Anthony Kim?
Yeah.
We all get very upset with what happened to Anthony Kim, don't we? You know, this was one of the finest young talents America had ever seen. And, unfortunately, they reportedly took the insurance money to, got an injury and, banked a huge insurance check, which meant he could never come back to the golf game. And I can see a young Anthony Kim in Justin Suh. You know, he chokes down on his irons. You know, he's a fabulous iron player. The weakness for Justin Suh is on and around the greens. Mm. So if he can just sharpen up his short game, I think he's a certainty to become a PGA Tour champion in the near future.
Yeah, look really impressive. Should we get on to this week's tournament, Steve?
Well, should we just mention Tiger Woods? Because Tiger Woods was there at the start of last week and he was hobbling around a little bit. And I was thinking, oh, blimey, it's not looking good. But then he went on to caddy for his son, Charlie, in the Nota Begay Invitational and walked 72 holes as a caddy and was walking pretty freely. So I think there's a fair chance we might see Tiger in the Hero World Challenge at the end of this month. It looked like he was walking well enough. So we shall see. Yeah, I thought Tiger fans might want to know that we might see him quite soon in competitive action.
That is exciting. I did see that Woods Jr., did he shoot 68 on the final day or something of his tournament and finished like 17th in his age group, under 14? So, I mean, the depth of junior golf is just frighteningly good.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. No, it is frighteningly good. And Charlie Woods, for all his pedigree, he's going to struggle to make an impact because there's so many good players out there. But it's just nice watching his swing. He's got the same mannerisms as Tiger. It's just like, it's heartwarming.
It is. It really is. The Ned Bank Golf Challenge, Steve. I'm looking forward to that this week. Should we get into the action?
I think you've got every right to look forward to it, and I think we should.
We've got two tournaments to preview. We'll start on the DP World Tour with the Ned Bank, played at Gary Player Golf Club. Steve, talk us through what we can expect here. What type of player are we looking for?
Well, you look at the yardage of the Gary Player Country Club, it's 7,834 yards. So a big boy's track.
How long?
7,834 yards.
8,000? I thought I'd start with an 8 then.
Well, yes, they will have to soon, my friend. And the Eco Warriors will be spitting out their coffees because...
I don't think they'll drink coffee, Steve.
Do they not drink coffee? No.
Water and kale and.
Well, this is it. This is it. Yeah. This is it. But yeah, what you must remember, Jack, what you must remember is that we're at altitude this week. So the ball flies further in the rarefied air. I like that word. So we are, yeah, we've got a big boys golf course, but the ball will fly further. Par 72, four par fives. We've had the Ned Bank from 1981 to 2019. Then we went 2 years without a Ned Bank. But we did see Gary Player Country Club host a couple of South African Opens in that time, 2020 and 2021. And then last year, the Ned Bank was back at the Gary Player Country Club. Tommy Fleetwood has won the last two Ned Banks. So he's going for a hat trick this week. We've got great weather forecast, sunny, hot, calm, temperatures peaking at 34°C. What type of player? Expect a quality ball striker to triumph. This has always been a playground for quality ball strikers, your Ernie Els's, your Nick Price's, your Sergio Garcia's, your Lee Westwood's, your Tommy Fleetwood's. I think we'll get another one this week. We've got 66 going to post, Jack.
Steve, I know you like a stat, and you may already have this stat tucked up your sleeve, but I've got a stat for you. Would you like to hear it?
I'd love to hear it.
So Tommy Fleetwood's gone back-to-back in this and is looking for the treble this weekend. How many players have won this tournament back-to-back before? And I know the format changed a little while back, but how many have done it in this tournament before?
Gosh, there has been a few, isn't there? I don't know, maybe five?
Seven.
Seven, goodness gracious me. You know, that is a stat.
Can we try and name some of them?
Jim Furyk definitely won back-to-back. Sergio Garcia.
No, he
didn't win it back to back. He's won it twice, hasn't he?
We got
Fleetwood. Did I mention Ernie Els? He's
won it. Ernie Els.
Yeah. Lee Westwood.
I think you mentioned him.
Yeah. Go on. You just put me out of my misery.
Evie.
I think we've had a few off.
David Frost.
Yes.
Nick Price.
Yeah.
Ernie Els, Jim Furyk, Lee Westwood, Tommy Fleetwood.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. Now, that wasn't up my sleeve, and I'm glad it was up your sleeve.
Absolutely. I don't think it will have any impact on how you approach the tournament, but I thought I'd bore you nonetheless. Steve, how many selections for this week? Subdued?
No, this is the new one. This is the new one. It's like I can't do the old one. I just haven't got enough energy. I'm too old for the old one. So that's the new one. It's like a foghorn, like a boat foghorn. I don't live far from the sea. This came to me yesterday because a boat was making that noise, like a big ship when it needs to alert other ships or boats that there's something coming. They do that. They go, bah! And then there's a little pause of a few seconds and then they do it again. So I thought that'll work well for our purposes.
I guess you're alerting, you know, our viewers that a winner is on the horizon.
Yes.
Very good. Let's start with your headline tip.
It is Ryan Fox. Very easy to back at 14-1. You might get a little bit bigger out there if you've got accounts with a million firms. He should be highly motivated for this tournament. He's fourth in the Race to Dubai standings. If he finishes the DP World Tour season strongly, then Race to Dubai glory is within his grasp. A PGA Tour card is essentially in the bag from a top 10 finish on the Race to Dubai, as we've discussed a couple of weeks. All is rosy in the world of Ryan Fox. Gary Player Country Club in calm and sunny conditions this week looks at his mercy. Fox can cut this course down to size. Yeah, phenomenal driver. And he showed a liking to the venue last year when finishing runner-up to Tommy Fleetwood. He was beaten by just a shot. I don't think anyone's going to beat Foxy this year. In the last couple of months, he's looked at the peak of his powers. He was third in the Irish Open. Then he won the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth. He was second in the Dunhill Links. He's world number 27 now. Yeah, you can see the self-belief inside him. He'll fear nobody in this lineup. And icing on cake is his caddy. His caddy is South African, Dean Smith. Dean Smith knows his way around Gary Player Country Club. They've been a formidable partnership this year, and I see another trophy coming for Foxy on Sunday.
Yeah, I love Ryan Fox, Steve. Producer Will, I'm sure, in my ear going, read the prices. Sorry, I was thinking about kind of foghorns and Nick Price. Tommy Fleetwood is the favourite this week. He has won it back-to-back, roughly 7-1. Max Homa, 8. Justin Thomas, 14s, Ryan Fox, 14s, Justin Rose, 16s, Adrian Morong, 18s, bigger the rest. Ryan Fox, as you say, could probably be regarded as, you know, one of the best around at the moment.
Well, certainly the DP World Tour now is just easy pickings for him, isn't it? Yeah, every DP World Tour event he plays in now, he fancies his chances. What I like about him is he's such a cheerful Charlie, isn't he? You know, can you name a more cheerful character than Ryan Fox on the DP World Tour? Seems a very happy man. Very settled in his personal life. You know, kids popping out all over the place. You know, he had a miserable time during COVID when he was stuck out in New Zealand, and travel was such a challenge for him. And now he's got a base in London, in Surrey, I believe. And you know, life has just become a lot easier for Ryan Fox, and you know, good things are happening to him. And he likes a hot dog as well. I mean, you mentioned kale. Ryan Fox doesn't go near any kale. I mean, he was eating a hot dog during the Dunhill Links. Did you see that clip where he spilled a bit of mustard down his top there? I've got a lot of time for Ryan Fox, and hopefully he'll be eating hot dogs on Sunday.
He's one of these guys, Ryan Fox, who loves a barbecue. You know,
people. Yes, he does.
Personality trait is almost like barbecuing, and I've noticed, Steve, as I've kind of matured, and you know, conversation changes as you get older. A real kind of litmus test for masculinity, it seems, is whether you have a gas barbecue or a charcoal barbecue. And people who, you know, I said to someone the other week that, I've bought a gas barbecue. It's like I just killed their cat. You know, the disgust on their faces was remarkable. Yeah.
Well, I would have given you that same look, to be honest.
Would you? Yeah.
Might as well cook them in the oven, mate. Might as well cook them in the oven.
That's what it said.
Yeah,
that's
because it's all about getting the flavour through the charcoal, isn't it? I'm serious about sausage. I have an apron which says serious about sausage on it. And when I'm doing a barbecue, I really obsess about getting the perfect sausage. And there was a very famous incident at a party I hosted when one of my friends' partners came over and suggested I did some cross-contamination. She suggested that the chicken had touched the because you've got to be very careful that raw meat doesn't touch you. And she suggested that happened, and I had to ask her to leave. I had to ask her to leave, because no one accuses me of cross-contamination. I was in full control of that barbecue, despite having 10 cans of lager while producing the barbecue. But the accusation of cross-contamination is terrible. But you've got to throw out your gas barbecue. Just cook them in the oven if that's how you feel.
But there have been instances, Steve, where, you know, I've been kind enough of friends to invite me around their house for a barbecue on a charcoal. And maybe the rain started, or, as you say, maybe too much lager has been consumed, and they fail to light said barbecue.
Yeah.
And then it ends up going in the oven anyway. So I'm and have a fun time.
Oh, no, that's a fair defence. It's a fair defence. But, people shouldn't get – I'm sorry, I wasn't getting angry with you. People shouldn't get angry. But, Ryan Fox will have a proper barbecue, that's for sure.
Yeah, Steve Palmer serious about sausage. Ryan Fox serious about winning this week. Who's up next, Steve?
Beautiful. Link
I
that.
Brought you out there, didn't I, with your can of...
That's all right. No, I've only got one of those little silly... I bought a little silly one the other day. It's a long story. Rasmus Hogger. 28-1 Rasmus Hogger. Another awesome ball striker. A four-time DP World Tour champion at the age of 22. The first of those victories came in the continent of Africa in the Mauritius Open. He won his fourth title in the Maiden Himmerland in July, and he's hungry. He's as hungry as ever for success. The European Ryder Cup win has had lots of little knock-on effects, hasn't it? I mean, Adrian Morant, we've discussed, was galvanised by his wildcard snub, won the Andalusia Masters last month. Rasmus Hogger narrowly missed out on making that team. But not only that, his twin brother Nikolai did make the team, and that inevitable sibling jealousy was there, and I think it's fueling Rasmus now. The upshot is we got a hugely determined Rasmus. They're both superstars, these twins, but Rasmus has been playing the better golf around the Ryder Cup. Just prior to the Ryder Cup, he was fourth in the French Open, and then since the Ryder Cup, he's had form figures of 25, 26, 16. He's swinging great, and his only previous Gary Player Country Club start was last year, and he led going into the final round, co-leader going into the final round, and finished eighth. I think he's going to set up another winning opportunity there this week.
Rasmus Højgaard. I mean, I love Rasmus Højgaard, Steve, but you can't link into Rasmus having said it's a long story about why you purchased those little cans of Coke and then not tell us the story.
Oh, OK. No, fair enough. Yeah. Well, I went into Sainsbury's last night. and I went to get some poppies for my children because I didn't like the fact they were going to school this week without the poppies. So I drove to Sainsbury's just to get my children some poppies. And then when I went in there, I saw that the vendors had gone home. There was no angle in there. So I was walking around Sainsbury's and I thought, I can't just walk in and walk out. It's just like the weirdest thing you can possibly do. And it's been, just walk around the supermarket for 5 minutes and then walk out. So I thought, I'm supposed to be off the Diet Cokes, but I'll just get some of these little cans of Coke Zero. I just couldn't bring myself to walk in a shop, walk in a supermarket. What you get me? They have security cameras. I think, what's that weirdo doing?
That's a roundabout way of blaming your children for getting you back on the fizzy drinks.
Yeah, that's it. But at least I didn't get the big ones. But the vendors have gone home. So I don't like my kids going to school without a poppy. I'll work on that after this broadcast.
Okay, you do that, Steve. I need a telling off as well. Mine's I haven't bought mine as of yet. Rasmus Højgaard next up in the Nedbank Golf Challenge. Steve, two more. Who's next?
It's Yannick Paul at 35-1. I want ball strikers on my side this week, as discussed. Yannick Paul, a greens in regulation machine, a fantastic iron player. Not got the prettiest swing in the world, let's be honest, but it's mightily effective. Not much can go wrong with it. I mean, you mentioned Jim Furyk, a two-time winner of the Nedbank. You don't need a pretty swing to win at Gary Player Country Club. Like Moronk and Rasmus, Yannick Paul can count himself unlucky not to make the European Ryder Cup team. He knew he had to qualify automatically. He came very close to doing so. He won the Mallorca Open last year. He was second in the Thailand Open this year, second in the Indian Open. Just solid all season. Sixth in the French Open at the end of September. Four under par rounds in the Qatar Masters last time out. And Gary Player Country Club, I think, is a great fit. The Joburg Open at the end of 2021 was the first tournament that Yannick Paul had ever played in South Africa, and he finished eighth. And then he made his Gary Player Country Club debut last year and finished 25th. Yeah, that's a fantastic effort, really, when you consider, this is a historic track. And he had a significant course experience handicap there, finished 25th. And on the Sunday, key point, he carded a 67. Nobody outscored him on the Sunday, so it looked like Yannick Paul got a handle on the golf course by the Sunday. I think he'll contend throughout on his second visit.
Yannick Paul seems like one of those, Steve, and please tell me if I'm wrong, always sniffing at, there or thereabouts, but never quite going to that next level. Maybe this week's the week then.
Well, it's short game, isn't it? Again, with Yannick Paul, a brilliant ball striker, can struggle on the greens. But as I say, I think this is a week to just concentrate on ball strikers. Tommy Fleetwood won last year without putting particularly well. Ball strikers. Education.
Who's up for the fourth and final selection this week in the Nedbank?
Sean Crocker.
We're going back in.
Some of the golf he played when we were in the other day. He's an amazing ball striker, this lad. And if I was putting for him, or if Brad Faxon was putting for him, his mantelpiece would be, bulging. Absolutely bulging. He was born in Zimbabwe, born in Africa. His family moved to California when he was five, but Crocker enjoys his trips back to his home continent. He was second in the Alfred Dunhill Championship in South Africa at the end of 2020. And on his Gary Player Country Club debut in last year's Nedbank, he finished 36th, which doesn't sound much, but again, you've got to dig a bit deeper here because, he finished 36th of 66, but he'd missed five of his previous six cuts going into that event. He was all over the show. He missed two cuts after that event as well, his next two cuts after that event. So that 36th at the Gary Player Country Club stood out like a beacon amid a terrible run, which suggests to me that he loves this golf course and I understand why he loves this golf course. This time he can approach the tournament with much more confidence. We mentioned when we were on him the other day how he fell down some stairs in August and injured himself. Now you can see he's fit and firing again. His last four starts, he's got that trademark ball striking class back, and he was ninth in the Qatar Masters last time out.
Sean Crocker. It's remarkable, Steve, the amount of times we speak about golfers having injured themselves, like falling over things.
It's an increasingly dangerous world, which is why I only leave this shed when it's absolutely necessary. No one can hurt me in here, Jack, apart from you with your cutting barbs.
I was just thinking of any other famous crockers, And then I remembered Betty Crocker.
Betty Crocker?
You know Betty Crocker, the cake mixes? You know, you can get a cake mix, Betty Crocker. Yeah. I think it's a fictional character, but I was just thinking then, any other Crockers? Because it's such a great surname.
Yeah. I'm going to struggle with that one, Jack. I don't think I can come up with another Crocker.
I'll leave it with you. Again, viewers.
Homework. Leave it with me for about 10 days and I might come up with something.
That's the med bag. Basically done it. Were there any others on the short list that tempted you, lured you in?
Well, yeah, there were. Let's just get the short list up. Matt Wallace. Yeah, if Matt Wallace wins, that'll hurt me. Matt Wallace has gone well here in the past and he's playing nicely. He's obviously won a PGA Tour event this year. It was a toss up between him and the others at a similar price. He's 33-1. You think about Matt Wallace as a four-time DP World Tour champion at the age of 33. And then if you're juggling between him and Rasmus Højgaard at a similar price, Rasmus is a four-time DP World Tour champion at the age of 22, Rasmus got superstar potential. Matt Wallace, maybe his ship has sailed in terms of becoming a superstar. So yeah, that was a big debate I had.
Just a quick word on the top two in the market, Fleetwood and Homer, obviously two, elite players. What was the reasoning for not having them on your list?
Well, yeah, I mean, you've got Max Homer and Justin Thomas here, American Raiders, with no course experience. I don't like that. I think Tommy Fleetwood should have been favorite from the start, and it's just a price thing. I prefer Ryan Fox at 14-1 than I do Tommy Fleetwood at half the price. Value grounds, Fox is a better bet than Fleetwood, but obviously Fleetwood's got a great chance.
Okay, fair play. Should we move over to the Bermuda Championship?
Yes, please.
Port Royal Golf Club, talk us through it.
Yes, it's in Southampton, Bermuda. Not to be confused with Southampton, England. 6,828 yards, par 71, three par fives. The course has staged the Bermuda Championship since 2019. Generous fairways, huge undulating greens. So easy peasy lemon squeezy, but the ocean lurks nearby. So it's usually windy. Wind is the defense of this course. But yeah, not a great deal this week. Very interesting weather forecast where the wind starts off light and just slowly but surely increases. So Sunday we'll have a bit of wind. But I think the winning total will be 20 something under par. We've got a field of 1-3-2 going to post.
1-3-2 going to post. Let's take a look at the top of the market. Adam Scott's your favourite around about 16-1. Thomas Dietrich, 18s. Brendan Todd, 18s. Lucas Herbert, 20s. Akshay Bhatia, 18s. Bigger the rest. Steve, not a hugely strong field. No disrespect to the likes of Lucas Glover and Alex Noren, but I think it's fair to say. How many selections for this?
We've got two selections. You only need to back two of the 132. I make this tournament a virtual match.
Okay. Who's it between?
I think it's a fascinating market, I must say, Jack. I mean, I could sense some lackluster-ness. Is that a word?
That's a word.
Have you ever seen it?
I would say my excitement for the two tournaments, there is more towards the Ned Bank, but this is exciting because you can sell this to me.
I will sell it to you. I mean, you've got about a million players around the 20-1 mark, haven't you? The bookmakers are really struggling to identify a favourite for this. If I was a bookmaker, I would be making Akshay Bhatia my favourite. And I think Akshay Bhatia will win this golf tournament. And 18-1 is available. Easy to back at 18-1. We've got a 21-year-old here who seems almost certain to become a superstar. We've been following his progress avidly. He was a cocksure youngster. Didn't bother with the college. He just said, I'm good enough to be a professional golfer. Boom, 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 boom. And he's been proved absolutely right. Made his PGA Tour breakthrough in the Barracuda Championship at the end of July. A second trophy should come soon enough. And Bermuda looks an ideal opportunity for him. He loves island golf in tropical locations. His victory on the Korn Ferry Tour came in the Bahamas at the start of last year. He defended that title this year and finished fourth. He was runner-up in the Puerto Rico Open in March. And on this particular paradise of Bermuda, he's already shown a liking to Port Royal. He turned up for his Bermuda Championship debut last year, having just missed his last three cuts on the Korn Ferry Tour. But he fell in love with Port Royal, carded four rounds in the 60s, finished 17th. He was world number 477 going into that tournament, Jack. A year later, he's 104th in the world rankings, and he closed with a 64 on Sunday in the Worldwide Technology Championship, tied for 10th place there. I think he'll contend throughout this championship. And the breeze for Sunday, he'll relish that. He's a shot maker. He's a strong ball striker. Battier for me is the most likely winner.
I must say that, I mean, obviously remarkable improvement in terms of world ranking over the last year. I thought he would have been higher than that. It feels like we're hearing about this chap all the while now.
Yeah. Hasn't played many golf tournaments, I guess. Yeah. You give him time and it's inevitable he's going to break into the top 50, I'd say. He's got the talent. He's got the, he's got the self-belief. For me, he's the most likely winner of this golf tournament. And, maybe I should be a bookmaker.
Actually, Patty, the number one pick in Bermuda, the second and the final for this one.
Yes, the only man that can beat him. I know Will has kittens when I say that sort of thing. I'm only joking. Obviously, 132 players, anything could happen. But I think Lucas Herbert at 20-1 is the only other bet you need. Lucas won this tournament 2 years ago. That was his Bermuda Championship debut. He wasn't able to defend the title last year. So Herbert has a 100% record on this golf course. And it's hardly surprising that he likes the track. You know, the Aussies are typically excellent in the wind, relish island golf. This particular Aussie has a short game to die for, one of the best putters in the world. The greens at Port Royal, as we mentioned, large, undulating. You put a bit of wind whipping across them. It's such a big test of putting. And you're going to have loads of birdie chances. There's a short course, loads of wedges in. You know, lots of 10 to 15 foot birdie putts. Herbert's going to put them away. He always brings a sizzling flat stick to the party. Three-time champion on the DP World Tour, Jack. He's upgraded to the PGA Tour now, and I think he could become a two-time PGA Tour champion on Sunday. His mental health is in a good place. He took some time off after the Open. He felt he needed a big break after the Open. And went to get his head together, didn't worry about FedEx Cup playoffs, trying to get into them. He just decided he needed a total break away from golf, went and met his girlfriend's family. He had a girlfriend. He didn't really know her family that well, so he decided to go and spend some time with them. And he's come back.
I mean, that could have ended that could have been even more stressful, couldn't it? Meeting your partner's family.
Yeah. I suppose he needed to approach that task with without worrying about golf. So he just put the clubs away for a bit and then went and did different things. Since he's come back, he's played four events since the Open. And he said that the rust is just slowly but surely coming off each week. He was 31st in Mexico on Sunday. So I think Herbert's in a great place to go and win a second Bermuda Championship.
No, that's great. I'm glad you mentioned, Steve, that wind when you're contributing to putting. Because I think if you haven't played golf near the coast or in strong wind, you just assume it the majority is affected on high wedges and stuff. But it on 6 foot putts and stuff, it does make a huge difference. You start to question. You know, you're seeing a putt going a certain way and then you're going, oh, I've got wind coming off this side. And it does mess with your head a little bit.
You make a very good point there, Jack, because it's not just what it's doing to the ball. It's what it's doing to you. And you lose your balance. You mentioned last week what a wonker you were. You're very wonky, aren't you, over your putts? And I'll never forget, Rory McIlroy when, I know we're not supposed to talk about amounts, but Rory McIlroy was going to win me a pretty penny, shall we say, at the Open in 2015. And he shot a second round 80 at St. Andrews. And I spoke to him afterwards and he was saying he just could not keep his balance on the putts. Mm-hmm. You know, even a little fella like that, the wind was whipping across St. Andrews and he even over little putts, he was getting blown all over the place. And it's very difficult to putt in strong winds. Lucas Herbert is a master at it. I mean, if I hope it does get a breezy over the weekend, as I said, it's going to go up and up and up and up and up. And the windier it gets, the more chance Lucas Herbert has of winning the golf tournament. But I think both of these two just stand out for me. Like, these are the best bets of the week.
Okay, great stuff. Shall we review the six selections across the two tournaments, Steve? Run us through them.
Yes, sir.
Let's do it then.
You say the golf tournament.
The Ned Bank Golf Challenge.
Ryan Fox, Rasmus Hogar, Yannick Paul, Sean Crocker.
And the Bermuda Championship.
Akshay Bhatia, Lucas Herbert.
Superb. Steve, thanks very much. I see last week you were treated to the delights of a round of golf with Bruce Millington. How did that go with the clubs back in your hands?
Yeah, it's nice to get out there, a little bit of fresh air. I mean, I was a bit like Eric Van Ruin in that I don't, when I get on the golf course now, I don't care what happens to my golf ball, really. And it frees you up nicely to play. Yeah, you play better. I used to get my knickers in a twist and, like, you know, it's pathetic conduct in the past, you know, throwing clubs and, really bothered about my score. And, I feel sorry for my dad. I played more golf in my life with my dad than anyone else. And he had to put up with some horrific conduct in the past. Because I was so keen on playing well. And now I've got to the age in life where I'm just thinking, why does it matter? It just doesn't matter. You're much younger. You probably still get out there and have hissy fits, don't you?
Not so much anymore. I was a fairly angry golfer back in my youth, as I think most are, because you don't know how to deal with emotion, do you?
No. And you care about things that don't matter. And why did it matter what score I produced on each hole? Because it's not like I'm playing for money. I wasn't playing for anything but pride, but I just had this fierce determination to do well. But I've lost that now. So in answer to your question, I just had a nice time, a bit of fresh air, and gave Bruce a good thrashing. Yeah. Because I just didn't care what happened. When I was playing with Wayne Marder the other day, he actually said that to me, because one of our opponents, me and Wayne Marder, were playing a pairs match against another two, and one of my opponents trying to wind me up on the tee. And he was going, oh, yeah, you got no chance of driving over that bunker. You know, you're going to put it straight in that bunker and all this stuff. And I was just listening to it and just whacked it straight over the bunker. One of the best drives I've ever done. And just silently put the golf club back in the bag. And then Wayne just goes to me, oh, you just don't care, do you? You just don't care. And I says, well, I don't. It's great. I'm good on the golf course now. I used to be terrible, and I apologize to anyone I play with. But now I just don't care. It's just a good walk spoiled, as they say, for me.
I'm really chuffed for you, Steve. It feels like you found tranquility and peace in the game. Hopefully the golfers we've selected this week have exactly that. We'll be back next week for another episode of The Sweet Spot. We'll be previewing a couple more tournaments. What have we got? DP World Tour Championship and the RSM, haven't we?
Yes, the finale to the DP World Tour season. The DP World Tour Championship and the RSM Classic, which is always a good one as well. Yeah, we've got lots to look forward to. Weymouth are playing Bath tonight. That's something to look forward to. I'm hoping to bump into Jordan Smith. We didn't mention Jordan Smith. Yeah, you're talking about ball strikers. What a ball striker. But can you trust him? You know, he doesn't putt that well, does he? And it's a temperament question. If I see Jordan Smith, he's a Bath man, you see.
I wonder where that was going. I just didn't know you'd bumping into him in the street or something.
I'm hoping that he is watching Weymouth Bath tonight and will delay his trip to Sun City, because I'm getting his head.
Steve, plenty to look forward to. Plenty to be cheerful about. That's brilliant. Thanks to everyone watching at home. If you are backing Steve's selections this week, please remember to do so with money that you can afford to lose. Stay safe. We'll see you all again next week. Bye-bye.